Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here, live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to call into the station while we are live on the, please call 740-383-9944. If you would like to ask any questions or make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. They will be having their free produce market opening up in April, and I will be announcing that and giving you the correct date and time. So stay tuned for that. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-262-0939. I have an announcement also. Master Urban Farmer, Thursdays, March the 19th, which is coming up next week, through April the 16th, time 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at Mays Community Temple, which is located at 801 Bennett Street, Marion, Ohio. There is no cost to the community, and all are welcome, including teenagers. They're going to be teaching people how to make their own gardens, how to plant food, and how to reap the harvest that you plant. So, looks like we're always going back to basics, no matter how much modern technology we have, right? Okay. Now, to be a part of this, please register online at go.osu.edu/Marion Urban Farmer or call OSU Extension at 740-223-4040. So hopefully there will be many of you in our community who begin to start these new gardens and going back to basic, trying to have fresher food and less call back on produce. So mark your calendars for that. I'd like to start the show with a thought for today. The thought is titled Success in Every Step. Those whose nature is pure and gentle, which is hard to believe, but there are some nice people out there, will have success merge in their every step. So we want to keep that in mind and try to be a little more pure and a little more gentle, right? Okay. Now I will turn my attention over to my guest today, Tim Combs. How are you?
Okay, fine. Good to be here, Linda.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes, it has been.
It didn't seem like it at first, you know, but yeah. We're just in March, though.
Yes, that's true.
Now, Tim Combs is a political historian. That's what I have called him, okay? Anything you want to know about politics, and he can go way, way back, okay? So if you have any questions, please call again that number, 740-383-9944. And he was also a former history teacher. He also has run for office before himself. So, Tim, how are you been?
Fine. It's been an interesting time that we've been living in through these last few months.
Yes, it has been.
As I said, I think it was last October when I was in here before. Mm-hmm. And that was before last fall's elections. Maybe I'd like to start with that and kind of where we go from there and then come forward, local, state, federal.
How's your family?
Fine. They're all doing well.
So that's good. You. That's good. All right, Dan.
Well, of course, as I say, last November we had our local city elections, and probably the biggest upset was the fact that Kelly Carr was defeated for election as city auditor, and
that's true.
Robert Landon. Mayor Schertzer, of course, was reelected to his fourth term as mayor. My source at City Hall told me that Mr. Landon has had some issues into getting into his job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in some cases he's not quite very sure what he's doing, so we'll have to see how that plays out. City Council, there were several new City Council members. The actual control council actually flipped from Republican back to Democratic control. There was a new Republican council member elected in the fourth ward, namely Joshua Feliciano, I believe was his name, and then also a new Republican council member at large, Michael Neff, and then Mike Thomas, who had been on council before. Becky Gustin had to resign because she'd moved out of the city, and Mr. Thomas was selected by the City Democratic Committee to take her position, so okay. he's back on as a council member at large. The Democrats did pick up the first ward seat. Kai Mead, a new first ward council member, he actually replaced Robert Landon as the first ward council member, and his was a classic case of every vote counting. He ended up winning by one vote.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I remember that.
Yeah, and they actually had a recount on it, but it confirmed that he had won by the one vote. And then also in the sixth ward, Kathy Swanger was elected as council. Ms. Swanger was elected technically as an independent, but she aligns herself with the more with the Democratic Party. So the
And she won her seat, didn't she?
Won her seat. Actually, kind of history made here, and I think in the nearly 100 years that the sixth ward has existed, this is the first time that the sixth ward has not been represented by a Republican on city council.
What?
Yeah, so it was some history there made. So that was in terms of the city elections and those people took office on the...
But didn't that Mead guy get in some type of controversy before the election and he won anyway?
Well,
Is that him?
Mr. Landon was actually he and the former Republican county chair, John Matthews, still are facing some charges over some information or ballot they were passing out
prior to the election.
It would seem like it was somehow from the Board of Elections, when in fact it was actually issued by the Marion County Republican Central Committee. And I believe there's still action pending against both of them on that issue. So, and I'm not sure exactly where that stands at this point, where that's at.
Right.
So that brings us up now to 2020. And of course, after we were here in October and we were in fact talking about the, at that time, it looked as if, well, there were committees meeting about Mr. Trump's matter with Ukraine and so forth. Eventually in December, the House of Representatives would in fact make him the third president of the states to be impeached. He was impeached by the House of Representatives.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then that set up the Senate trial in January. Now, the way this works, the Constitution gives the House of Representatives the power to impeach by a simple majority vote. And they actually impeached him on two articles. The Senate then has a trial. The Senate sits as, in effect, the jury, if you will. But to get a Senate conviction on any account requires a two-thirds majority. That, of course, obviously is very difficult to do. You've got 100 senators, so you would have to have at least 67 senators would have to vote to convict a president. The closest we ever came was all the way back in 1868, the Andrew Johnson trial, and he was acquitted by one vote. And at that time, Bill Clinton, who was impeached in 1998, would be acquitted easily, and then Mr. Trump was acquitted. Again, not getting close to the, although you had Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, who did find him guilty on one.
He sure did, didn't he?
But again, it was not enough to convict him. So we have a situation this time where we have an incumbent president. This is the first time in U.S. history this will have happened. An incumbent president who was impeached, who was running for re-election.
Right.
So we'll see how all this plays out.
Strange music, strange dance.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
doing so, here. So Mitt Romney, he was crying, wasn't he, on TV about what he had done? I guess they had came up against him about that.
Well, he said he felt on the one count that he was guilty of that count. So he
Felt
that he had to do what he had to do. So.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
And then, of course, we've had over these last weeks and months the contest for the Democratic presidential nomination. And it all really kind of came up together in the last 10 days.
Wasn't that kind of fast, didn't you
think? Well, you had various candidates who were dropping out as time went on, as they were not doing
right.
Then in the South Carolina primary back at the end of February 29th, in fact, Joe Biden won that primary rather handily.
Yeah, he sure did.
And within a matter of, by the following Monday, before the Super Tuesday primary of a week ago, Mayor Pete, the gentleman from South Bend, Indiana,
yeah,
and Senator Amy Klobuchar dropped out.
Right.
The former mayor of New York, Mike Bloomberg, who had spent a great deal of money on ads and so forth, after Mr. Biden did very well, and they both dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden. After Mr. Biden did very well last Tuesday, Mr. Bloomberg on Wednesday pulled out. Threw his support to Mr. Biden.
Right.
And has now his considerable resources and people who are working on his campaign are now working to elect Mr. Biden. He said his whole purpose of running was to bring about the defeat of Mr. Trump as president, re-election. So actually they're now involved in, for instance, registering African-American voters in about six key states. And I need to say Mr. Trump, Bloomberg has a considerable amount of resources, and he plans to use these to promote and help out Joe Biden's candidacy. Today we have about a half dozen states, actually six states, five that are holding primaries, and one state, North Dakota, is holding the caucuses. I will say this, I have never been a big fan of caucuses either side at all.
Right.
And I think what happened to Iowa here last month may well have doomed that state's caucus system. The state of Iowa may have to take a look at, maybe even switch into the primary.
Did they ever
system.
Get the logist of that?
Yeah, they've got election? I think they all got it worked out, but it was still.
They were talking about maybe months it would take, you know?
But anyhow, the primary is a lot more smoother and a lot quicker result. And I suspect that Mr. Biden is going to do very well today. I suspect he's going to do very well next week when Ohio, Florida, I think Illinois, and I believe one other state is voting next week. And I suspect that he's going to do very well. And now it's down to just between him and Bernie Sanders. And
Bernie said the establishment is against him.
Well, I think that Mr. Biden is, I think, viewed by many people as having, of course, I've been served 8 years as vice president. I'll be very blunt here. I think if Mr. Biden had run 4 years ago, I think he would have had the party's nomination, and I think he would have been elected. But at that time, he was in less than 2 years after his one son had died of brain cancer.
That's true.
And I just don't think he was emotionally ready to do that.
I don't think he was either.
And so, but now he is prepared. I think the country, you know, with this virus thing going on and so forth and other issues, I think the country is probably ready for, I think I would call it a return to civility in terms of government. I've told you before we went on the air, the mayor of Sterling Heights, Michigan today, lifelong Republican, voted for Mr. Trump 4 years ago. He said he thought he'd grow into the job. He hasn't. And today he endorsed Mr. Biden in the Democratic primary. He says his hope is that the Democrats nominate Joe Biden. He thinks he can unite the Democratic Party and then bring many moderate Republicans and independents into the fold. To elect him as president.
Well, President Trump hasn't been screaming so loud here lately. We have that virus going on.
Yeah, and then, of course, we've had the stock market. It's just been all over.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not surprising the market was up sharply today.
How many points did it go
yesterday.
Up?
And this, frankly, reminds me what happened back in the 2008 financial crisis.
Okay,
up one day, down one next.
Right.
I'm sure what happened was a lot of individuals went in today and bought up things that had, you know, kind of a
boost
dirt
to the
cheap,
economy.
Whatever.
Okay, right.
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow?
True.
This happens in that kind of a situation. Many economists feel, particularly with China, where all this began in Wuhan, China, because so much manufacturing is now that the U.S. companies you have in China
depend on them great.
Man. Yeah, and they're shutting their plants down, they're so forth, and that's going to affect companies down the road who can't get things. The tourist industry, particularly the tourist cruise ship industry, is taking a tremendous hit on this. And of course, that's jobs, people who have...
Airlines, too.
Whatever,
yeah.
Airlines have some issues also.
Yeah.
So I suspect that things are going to, in the next weeks and months ahead here, could be a hit to the economy.
Wow.
And so we'll see how all this plays out over the next few weeks and months.
That's the slogan, right? It's the economy, stupid, right?
Well, of course, we have our primary next Tuesday the 17th, our St. Patrick's Day primary, if you will. Of course, on the Democratic side, you're down to really two major candidates, although there will be a lot of other candidates' names on the ballot. These other people had withdrawn too late to take their names off the ballot. But we have some local contests. Well, particularly one local contest has been a state Senate contest on the Republican side that has gotten a lot of attention. And apparently, I'm not totally in the know on that side of what's going on, but apparently it's rather heated.
Right.
It's between State Representative Bill, I believe his name is Renke, I believe how you pronounce it. He is from Tiffin up in Seneca County, and a Melissa, I believe it's Abertson, I believe is how that name is pronounced. She's a businesswoman from Marysville in Union County. And frankly, this is a battle between the rider and the rightist wing of the Republican Party. And it's gotten pretty nasty and so forth. And then, of course, this last... I think it was last Thursday, the Republicans have what they call their Harding Day fundraising dinner down at All Occasions. And in the last
out here
days,
in Waldo.
Out Waldo,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Things about Congressman Jim Jordan when he was an assistant wrestling coach at Ohio State, and this Dr. Richard Strauss sexual harassment thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That he was aware, apparently there was a maintain that he was aware of some of that, and it's actually CNN has picked it up on it. There was a news story on it, and it's gotten some attention. There is a three-way Democratic contest to oppose him in the primary. Mike Larson from Plain City in Union County, a Jeffrey Seitz from Lima, and a Shannon. If it's a Fresh Hour, I think is her last name, who's a lady running for that nomination. And they're into a contest. Of course, Mr. Jordan's profile, which had always been rather low-key, got jumped up a great deal during the impeachment trial because he was one of the major members on the House Intelligence Committee or Judiciary Committee on that. And so he was getting a lot of national attention. And in fact, there were some people saying around the country, is there anybody running against this guy who were not happy with his leadership? So we'll see how all that plays out in the fall because there's going to be a Republican candidate, Mr. Jordan, a Democratic candidate, which one of those three people wins the Democratic nomination.
Right.
There is going to be a Libertarian Party candidate who doesn't get a lot of attention. And then there's going to be an independent candidate who's actually a former Republican. In fact, he was the former Shelby County Republican chair over in the western end of the district, and he left the Republican Party and he's running as an independent. And he was opposite Mr. Jordan or Mr. Trump because I think they're dealing with farm issues and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could get very interesting contest in the fall election. So,
wow.
We do have other contests. A number of other contests that are uncontested that we'll see in the fall. Now, I will say this, up until 4 o'clock next Monday, independent candidates can file petitions to run in the general election. And so far as I know, nobody has done that at this point. But again, the Boards of Election they can file it up until 4 o'clock next Monday.
Okay.
I've heard there may be an independent candidate for county treasurer. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. I never say these things until actually the person files then after. Because a lot of people sometimes talk about running, but But if they don't turn the petitions in, then it's, you know, they're not,
right,
not going to be on the ballot.
Right.
So you have that. You do have another position that came open. Judge Deborah Alsbaugh, who was my family court judge, decided to retire at the end of January.
Because she did retire,
and there's still 3 years left in her term, and it's so far before the general election, there are special provisions of the Ohio election law that come into play here.
Okay.
Her resignation came after the filing deadline for candidates back in December.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening is both, the recognized political parties, the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Libertarian Party, can name candidates up until, I believe, August. There's a deadline in August.
Okay.
Now, the Republicans have decided to name their candidate, Larry Heiser, who was a local attorney who apparently has done the practice in the family court. They decided to name him as their candidate. Plus, also, because Judge Alsbaugh retired, the governor can name an appointment to that position.
Okay.
And apparently the Republican Central Committee has recommended Mr. Heiser be appointed, as Reverend Governor DeWine, that Mr. Heiser be appointed. And so far, as far as I know, he has not yet been appointed to the position.
Right.
But I presume at some point that's going to happen. So we'll see what that does. Well, and then they say the Democrats can name a candidate. And again, an independent candidate or independent candidates can file for that position up until 4 o'clock.
I don't know how you keep up with all that stuff.
So this is a little unusual. It's a special provision of the law.
Right.
Because of the filing deadlines.
You're good at it.
So, and then also some other issues that have happened. Well, the other point here is that Mr. Heiser had been on the Board of Elections as one of the two Republican members
of
the Board of Elections. Because he was running for an office, he resigned his seat on the Board of Elections, and the Republican Central Committee has recommended local attorney and actually president of the County Bar Association, Todd Anderson, to be his replacement. And having been a former board member for the Democratic
Party. Yeah, I remember that name.
What will happen is he has to complete some paperwork to the Secretary of State, Mr. LaRose,
mm-hmm.
and once that paperwork is completed and background check is done, then Mr. LaRose can formally appoint him to the position and he can be sworn in as a new Republican board member of the Board of Elections for the remaining 3 years of Mr. Heiser's term. So, but that change is in the process of happening at this point. So.
Right. Right.
There's some other changes. Kathy Chafin, who had been the former chief deputy for
Is that Steve's wife?
Yes, Steve's wife. She is the new service director. She was named service director for Mayor Schertzer.
Okay.
And Randy Carrier, who had been the service director, became safety director when Tom Robbins, who had been the safety director during Mr. Schertzer's three terms, he retired, didn't he? He retired.
Okay.
Yeah, he had been in the police department for years now.
Wow.
He's retired, so. And I think that's, we're changes that were happening and where we're at this point in terms of changes. Now, there are some issues that are on the ballot next week. Actually, several issues, two countywide issues. The one that has been there from before, we've talked about it before, the MDD levy. Is trying to get those things through. You know, I forget what attempt it is, but it's, you know,
it's been a while, right?
They came so close last May, they lost it by 19 votes. And the shift just 10 votes would have passed, but they're trying to get that through. There's another issue on the ballot, which you haven't heard a whole lot about, although it's got a lot of it, somewhat of attention. And that is an issue that the commission's put on about a jail levy for some additional money for new jail or whatever. And
is that the one over on Ruth?
Well, that is part of it, on Rose Avenue. Yeah.
Right, Rose Avenue.
That issue hasn't got a lot of attention, and frankly, I think the commissioners kind of put it out there on the ballot, and they're not really. I'm not sure they suspect that it's going to pass.
Hmm.
And so it's out there, and we'll see what happens with that. I'm going to guess it's probably not going to be successful because there's no real effort to push it.
Do we need more jails?
Well, of course, what they did was they moved the sheriff's office to the former Gentile building on Delaware Avenue.
Right.
That's where the new sheriff's office is located. They do already have the Maldy County Jail with Hardin County up on Mary Williamsport Road.
Okay.
But here's what's happened. There had been an order in place for, I think, 20-some years by previous judges that any low-level persons who were did not have a misdemeanor
type crime, type right, yeah,
could be released to allow more important or maybe felonies to be in jail. Well, the current judges Warner and Edwards and Judge Ballinger, the municipal judge, revoked that order. And so what's happening is now they're getting filled up and they're having to send these people out of the county. And apparently Judge Edwards made the comment something. He thought that they should be building a new jail or some additional thing or whatever. And it just ain't going to happen. And so the likelihood is that, I don't know, I'm not sure what's going to happen because they're having to send these people out. And, of course, that costs more money
right.
to do that.
Right.
And I think it was a mistake to have reversed that order.
I believe that, too.
And I think in many ways it was almost the public be damned, we're going to do what we want.
Right.
And, you know, people sometimes have to make a choice here.
True.
They said about, well, no more tougher on crime, whatever. Well, that may well be, but there's a cost to that.
Yes, it is.
And so, but...
And like you say, some of that stuff is misdemeanor. Why are you being so tough on something
so,
like that?
So, I don't know. We'll see how all that plays out. But I say I don't suspect this issue, on the, particularly after the reevaluations came out in January on property.
Okay.
And property taxes went up rather significantly in a lot of the area of the county.
Yeah. And my house payment went up, yeah.
And so I don't think that's going to probably be helpful for issues passing. And I know in Marion Township we have a fire renewal levy. It's not a new one. It's just a renewal. Hopefully that will be approved.
Right.
For the Marion Township Fire District. So, I think that's kind of hitting all the high points and where we're at in terms of some.
So is marijuana primaries. Going back on the ballot?
Pardon?
Marijuana. I heard it was going back on the ballot.
There's nothing on the ballot now. I think there's some issues. I believe there's an effort to try to put some on the November ballot.
November.
There are some issues that are being, petitions are being circulated on, some issues for the November ballot. We'll see how all that plays out in the next few months because they're having to get a lot of signatures, something like over 400,000 ballot signatures to put issues on the ballot. This is based on the percentage, certain percentage of the vote for previous election for governor.
Right.
And because our turnout for governor was rather high in 2018,
right.
therefore the number of signatures required goes up. And of course, when you say 400,000 some ballot signatures, what you really need is about 600,000 or 700,000 because there are going to be signatures that aren't going to be good. They're going to get thrown out.
So that
is an issue there.
Okay. Yeah. And Tara Dyer, she's...
Tara Dyer, okay, as you mentioned that. Tara Dyer, we have two commissioner seats up this time.
Okay.
Commissioner Kerr Murray, a Republican, is being challenged by Marion Township Trustee Lynn Thomas, who actually was a county commissioner back in the 80s for a
really, term. Lynn? Okay.
And then the other commissioner is Commissioner Andy Applefeller, a Republican. Nobody filed against him. But I think some people in the Democratic Party got Tara to decide to run for commissioner. But because the filing deadline already passed,
right.
she is run as a write-in candidate in the Democratic primary. And she needs to get at least 50 valid votes in the Democratic primary. She does that, and I would be surprised if she doesn't, but then she gets enough valid votes.
Okay.
Her name will be on the general election ballot as the Democratic candidate
right.
against Mr. Applefeller.
Because she was up last November, weren't she?
She ran for 5th Ward City Council seat, lost by... five votes, I think it was.
It was real little.
Very, you know, just a few votes shifted, and she would have won the 5th Ward Council.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So
she's running again.
She ran for commission 2 years ago. So,
wow.
She's been out there, and, you know.
She don't give up.
You know, I will say this. I'm going to guess maybe that race, one of the issues that, assuming Tara gets on the ballot, Mr. Applefeller has been county commissioner now for 20 years. At the end of this year, he will have served five terms. Hmm. And some people might decide, hey, it's time for something else to happen. I mean, running for a sixth term.
Wow.
Maybe it's time for a change.
Yeah.
You know, people say they want term limits or they want to limit something. I guess this is one of those kind of people, it's either put up or shut up on the issue about whether you want people out of office after a couple of terms.
Right. And, That's true.
So we'll see what happens.
Right.
And there's also been an issue that's been raised, actually, a legislature that was raised in a letter to the editor this past Sunday's paper. The commissioners have what they call an in-house legal counsel, and he's actually a former assistant prosecutor.
Okay.
And some people are wondering, you know, is this guy, he's almost like, some of them almost the fourth commissioner, and he is he kind of almost does the job of the commissioners in terms of answering questions, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's some issues there. That may well be an issue that will, you know, as we get towards the fall election, November general election, will be, because none of the candidates in the commissioner have a distant primary.
Right.
But in the general election in the fall, this could be an issue that will come up. So.
Okay.
And as I say, of course, I was in the general election, there will, you know, obviously the presidential race is going to be there. There's going to be two Supreme Court races. We had the Democratic Party's Franklin Roosevelt breakfast this last Saturday. Judge Jennifer Bruner, who was a former Secretary of State of Ohio,
okay,
and she's now an appellate court judge in Columbus, is running for the state Supreme Court. She certainly has the name recognition. And so that will be there's two Supreme Court seats up this time. So
I was trying to think of the lady, her name, that was here for the Black Heritage Banquet.
Justice Melody Stewart.
Yeah, okay, Melody Stewart.
She was first African-American elected to the Ohio Supreme Court. Now, Yvette McGee Brown had been on the state Supreme Court, but she was named by Governor Strickland for a vacancy that was on there, and she was appointed by former Governor Strickland when
okay.
he was governor, and the vacancy came up. So.
Okay.
So, we're you know, as I say, getting into the fall election here in a few weeks or months. Of course, summer will be the conventions. You know, there was talk, was it going to be a brokered convention on the Democratic side? I don't think so. I think, frankly, after tonight, certainly after next week, it's pretty much over now, and I think this is going to be...
Who's going to be running against President Trump,
Joe Biden,
right?
Will be the Democratic nominee. The only real question is who will he select as his running mate for vice president.
Right.
And I have several names in mind that I think would be interesting choices, so we'll see what he...
Who you think, maybe?
Well, of course, one name has come up with Senator Amy Klobuchar, who was one of his former opponents from Minnesota.
Right, right.
Senator Kamala Harris
yeah. Of
California. But one that hasn't got a lot of attention, but I think would be a good choice. Stacey Abrams from Georgia. She was the candidate for governor in 2018.
Okay.
Ran a very strong race, lost by a very narrow margin. Hmm. And frankly, the gentleman she was running against, Brian Kemp, at the time was the Georgia Secretary of State.
Okay.
And there were some issues in terms of...
I remember that, yeah.
Someone called voter suppression.
Right, right.
And so forth. And of course, he ended up winning the governor's race. And so she was the minority leader in the Georgia House of Representatives. So it could be an interesting choice if he would, you know. I'm sure there'll be a number of people he'll look at.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, obviously he went through that process before Barack Obama chose him back in 2008 to be his running mate for vice president.
Mm-hmm,
And he's been there and done that job for 8 years.
Yes, he has. So. Yes, he has. Wow. And I kind of thought that, you know, evangelicals, which is a huge support for President Trump, so he'll probably hold on to them, you think?
Well, you know, I find it interesting. Some of these people who are evangelical, and that's certainly their religious views and so forth, I have to wonder, you know, considering his background and particularly some of his personal background over the years, you know, a certain amount of, a certain amount of hypocrisy comes into play here. I know many people have very strict moral codes and so forth, and Mr. Trump has certainly over the years, there's been some questions on some of his dealings and so forth. And,
right.
And has private life. And
his speech. You know, the way he talks to people.
Well, this is the other thing is, and I think this is where we get matter of civility, government.
Right.
People are just, I think people, you know, what more could happen and whatever. And frankly, this virus thing, I mean, some of the stuff that he's come up with is just really created some real questions. And so we'll see how that plays out. So.
And then people think, well, okay, say Biden is running and we think he's going to get the nomination. So what about what it seems like to me and others that it was a trick that they pulled out the hat and gave him the last election. So what do you think about that?
Well, here's
happening
the,
again.
Think, again, let's look at some history here.
Okay.
Remember, Hillary Clinton actually got 3 million more votes.
Right.
Popular votes. Than Donald Trump.
Right.
She had 48% of the popular vote. He had 46%. That, of course, adds up to 94%. You had 6% that went to various third-party candidates,
okay.
Mostly to a Gary Johnson, who was a former Republican governor of New Mexico, who ran as the Libertarian Party candidate.
Right.
He had about, I think, like 4% of the vote. There was a Dr. Jill Stein who ran as the Green Party candidate.
Mm-hmm.
She got about 1%. And then the other 1% was on a variety of other third-party candidates.
Right, right.
That 6%, you add that to the 48% that Hillary Clinton got, that is 54% of the American people did not vote for Donald Trump. And I will just tell you this.
I know.
6% and a third-party candidates is way more than usual. Usually, over the last number of years, other than everyone saying like a Ross Perot did or a George Wallace or whatever, usually the third party candidates together get maybe 1 to 2% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess at this time they're going to be back down to that 1%.
Right.
Many of those people that may have voted for some of the Libertarian candidates or Green Party candidates, they didn't want Trump, but they had some issues with Mrs. Clinton.
Right, they didn't want her.
And so they voted for these third-party candidates.
Right, right.
As they say, the old cliche, only an idiot makes the same mistake twice.
That's true.
And so I'm sure many of those people are not going to make that same mistake. You have a Joe Biden as a candidate. As I say, this mayor of Sterling Heights, Michigan, probably is a whatever.
Right.
Moderate Republican who feel they could vote for Joe
Biden.
That's going
to be a big
president.
Impact, yeah.
And so... and I actually was talking to somebody on Saturday, very same thing that some of their Republican friends have said. You pick Biden, and yeah, we could vote for Biden over Trump because they didn't want.
So yeah. What is it about Bernie? You don't think he's going to
well,
make it?
Well, a lot of things that Bernie says are true and have some truth to it, but I think some of the things that he's proposing are doing probably just a little bit too much for many people.
Right, right.
And so that's, you know, he certainly has his supporters.
He does.
No doubt about that. But I think a moderate liberal, a moderate progressive is what people are looking for.
Right, right.
And I think some people maybe feel Bernie would be too much on the left end of the political spectrum.
Right,
so
too far
I think
left. Okay.
A center-left candidate like a Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly they knew. I mean, his 8 years as vice president, he was there.
Oh, yeah.
There's an ad now that the Biden people have up that when President Obama gave him the Medal of Freedom, it's whatever, and he's talking about the fact that he was a great vice president, made him a better president.
Right.
And as I said, I think if he had run 4 years ago, I believe he would have been elected. But as I say, it just wasn't, for him personally, the right
time
to do it.
No, wrong timing for him, and, I think so. And his family.
Yeah. So, I think there's a long in the country for getting back to a more normal presidency, because this has been anything but a normal presidency. I mean, we have a government of acting this, acting that, acting whatever, and it's just, you know, it's just been almost one circus after another in many cases. And I think people are just tired of it.
I see Jesse Jackson endorsed him.
Now, I know Jesse endorsed Bernie Sanders, and that's fine. And
Bernie. That was Bernie, yeah.
But a number of them, and frankly, it was the African-American community came out for Joe Biden, mm-hmm. the South Carolina primary.
Right.
And I'm guessing, well, actually, last week, a number of the other state primaries, and I'm going to guess it's going to happen. I suspect that Mr. Biden's going to have a very good night tonight
okay.
in these number of these states today. So.
Yeah, those evangelicals, they're trying to hold on to Trump, though, really. Some of them.
That's the right.
Because he speaks to their issues, you know, abortion, mm-hmm. you know, they want that Roe versus Wade return.
You know, here's the thing. I guess my question to them is this. The matter of abortion, you know, people may not necessarily want abortion, but if, let's say, Roe versus Wade were overturned,
mm-hmm.
do people really think you're not going to have any abortions? There were abortions before Roe v. Wade. There'll be abortions if it was overturned.
That's true.
What would happen is we'd go back to the days of the back alley and the coat hanger and all that kind of thing.
More deaths.
And, you know, this is, you know, so I say it, and some of the ideas that some of these people come up with are just beyond the pale, I believe. Some of the ideas that are out
and they're
there.
Holding on to that one too.
So,
and same-sex marriages. I think I don't know how they think these bills are going to be overturned once they've been set in motion like that. You know,
you're not. I mean, obviously Mayor Pete openly gay, and
make
a difference. Made no difference to most people. I mean, you know, whatever. So
some people, yeah, but some people.
Some do. Were offended. I realize that.
You know, that's true. Some people were offended by that. I didn't even know myself. And that one lady says on the news, she says, "I want my ballot back then," because she didn't know she had voted for him. You know, they said, "Did you realize that he was gay?" You know, news, the media. You know. He said, "No, I want my ballot back."
Once the ballot's cast, that's it.
Right, that's what they was telling me.
And like I say, there have been people who voted already early that may have voted for some of these other people that have drawn out. And,
right.
Should you vote? No, sorry. that's the chance you take when you vote early.
Is it? Right, right.
Whatever, and, that they're not going to be there. So.
And you can still vote early in our county,
yes,
too, right?
Well, actually, statewide through this weekend up until... I think 2 o'clock Monday is when the early voting ends.
Monday.
And then, of course, polls are open between 6:30 and 7:30 next Tuesday is the actual primary election day. So, and I'm not sure what the latest numbers are. I mean, statewide, I think a number of people, particularly those maybe voting in the Democratic primary, will wait until after last Tuesday's Super Tuesday to see how things went there, and then maybe voted later this last week or this week or whatever. So.
Right, right.
But
I was hoping more people take the opportunity to vote early because...
Well, it's becoming more and more a factor. Well, one of the things out now with this virus thing, Mr. LaRose, Secretary of State, apparently, it's nothing in Marion County, but in some areas of the state, some of the polling places were in senior citizen homes or... residences or
nursing homes like that, yeah.
And he's told them they have to move those out of there, which, I mean, a week before the election, have to relocate to a different location. Well,
what about the elderly?
That may be easier said than done. And, of course, technically, they're supposed to give people 30 days' notice. Well, obviously, that would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
This could be deemed an emergency situation. And they would just have to notify people in those precincts, put out public notice that, you know, you're... area is now going to be a different polling location.
Right, right.
I mean, well, I'll give you an example. What happened last Tuesday, Tennessee had their primary last Tuesday. Well, of course, you had that terrible tornado in Nashville.
Oh, that was nasty. Yeah,
and they
had
to pull some of the polling locations had to be moved because obviously they were gone.
Right.
And, you know, and they had to work through that. That was right the very day it happened.
Sure was.
I mean, that was an emergency kind of situation.
Yeah.
So.
Unexpected.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes unexpected happens. So.
It came in the night, that tornado did. It did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
So so that's, I think, is where we're at in terms of action and where we're at in terms of issues that were out there. And, of course, this primary is in March this year because it's a presidential year.
Right.
Normally, we do our primaries in May. Which is what it'll be.
And they moved it up,
didn't
they?
The other 3 years, it's in May, but then in the presidential year, it's in March.
I never even realized that until this year.
Yeah. And some states, I mean, I'm not Ohio, but some states do their presidential primary like in March or April or whatever, but their primary for their, all the other officials, state officials, Congress, whatever, mm-hmm. may well be like in August or September. Right. Otherwise, they have two primaries, one for the presidential part of it, then one for the other part of it. And then, of course, some states still have runoff primaries where the candidate has to get a certain percentage of the vote, and then they have to, if they don't get that, then they have to have a runoff. But again, we're not in one of those states, but there's some that do it that way too.
So you said there was only going to be two other issues on the ballot, and that was Marka and the jail.
And then, like I said, Marion Township, there is an issue for renewal of a fire levy. And then there may be some other issues out there that I'm not, I think some of the other, a couple other smaller issues in some of the parts of the county, but I'm not sure what those issues are. So
Right.
The two countywide issues are the developmental disabilities and the jail levy.
Well, there's not too much they can get by you. You keep up with that stuff. I thought, how can he know all that stuff and retain all that knowledge about voting and what has happened last year up until today? And those of you who are listening, Tim knows his stuff. He is our political historian here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Thank you, Tim, for your time. Your expertise and knowledge.
Thank you.
You have been listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And again, my name is Linda Sims, and hopefully you continue to listen to the program. And don't forget to get out the vote in Marion County. The polls are open. You can vote early until Monday at 2 p.m. So don't forget to get out the vote. Choose who you
You're
want to
listening
run
to WWGH Radio LPFM Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, absolutely. And I was in it one year. I played Mother Goose.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there was nothing to tell. I was dressed up like Mother Goose, and I was in this thing. And I must say, I had a secret little flask, because it was colder than a bear's ears. And I had a little nip of some good warm stuff occasionally. So I was a very happy Mother Goose by the end of the trip. There, that's a secret let out.
Oh, my. That's a great story. So Mother Goose was...
Isn't that lovely?
Mother Goose had a few nips.
Oh, what fun it was. And the joy of the children and their parents and their brothers and their sisters along the route, just waving and having such a good time celebrating.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marian Moments. Marian's First Lady of Dance, Martha Dowse, is a living legend who has been teaching dance since 1943. Always loving and giving, for 25 years, Martha organized benefit dances, raising in excess of $90,000 for leukemia research in memory of Michael Rollins, an 8-year-old cancer victim from Marian. She has also served as secretary for Marian Midget Football for over 35 years.
This is Charlie Evers, and you can catch my friend Scott Spears Monday through Friday from 12:10 until 2 p.m. right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities and local topics every day.
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey, and you're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. This station's more fun than a night on Rush Street. Holy cow!
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marian every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marian, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hello. If you listen and enjoy A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, help A Voice of a People to be better. A $10 donation a week pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People. In so by doing, you will have the privilege of your name, business, organization, church, or your favorite charity mentioned or announced during our broadcast and entered into a drawing which will be held weekly. Prizes will vary. I also want to say this, anonymous donators are welcome and will be respected. Remember, if you want to make A Voice of a People a better program, a $10 a week donation / pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People.
A Voice of a People with Linda Sims can be heard twice weekly on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Monday and Tuesday from 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marian Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue, phone number 740-387-9050.
It's time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Live from the WWGH Newsroom, I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine Monday took a number of actions in response to the coronavirus COVID-19. He signed Executive Order 2020-01D, declaring a state of emergency in Ohio to protect the well-being of Ohioans from the dangerous effects of COVID-19. The state of emergency allows state departments and agencies to better coordinate in their response. In addition, Governor DeWine partially activated the State of Emergency Operations Center at 1 p.m. Monday. Also, Governor DeWine, joined by Ohio Department of Health Amy Acton, M.D., Monday announced that three Ohioans tested positive for COVID-19 coronavirus. These are the first cases in Ohio. The three individuals live in Cuyahoga County and have had known contact with those with confirmed diagnosis of COVID-19. Each of the individuals is in their 50s. For the latest information on coronavirus, visit coronavirus.ohio.gov. In addition, those with questions about COVID-19 coronavirus can call the Ohio Department of Health hotline at 1-833-4-ASK-ODH. In addition, a mandate to suspend all face-to-face instruction at The Ohio State University in Marion due to concerns about the coronavirus has taken effect.
For the Marion, Ohio Weather Team, I'm Zach Fuller. Clouds stick around tonight. I'll have the latest coming up in your Weather Minute from the Marion, Ohio News Network.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, this is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Tonight in the Marion area, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, a low around 35 degrees. For your Wednesday, a chance of a shower after 2 p.m., otherwise cloudy conditions, a high near 51 degrees. Thursday, another chance of showers in the afternoon, partly sunny though, a high near 59. And Friday, showers likely before 8 a.m., then turning partly cloudy, a high near 48. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at monntv.com. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.